morning, Pete.
Yeah. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. So today we'll conclude our discussion about the daughter of the Roman governor and her intervention. And to say that, obviously, because I'm working with five different texts of what happened, so there are discrepancies and we're not sure. But it seems as follows. First of all, to speak about her herself, we don't know whether she was young or old. Was she a little girl who happened to be in the palace? Or was she an elderly woman? She might have been a stateswoman herself. Who knows? That's number one.
Psychopath.
Pardon?
She was a psychopath.
She may have been a psychopath, but she may not have been. Let's be Don Lachavskos, okay? Let's be Don Lachavskos. Try it this way around, okay? Maybe, yeah, we've got a Losh Nechmeru Rachamecho that she felt sad, that she was upset. Yeah, we've got an expression that says that she, there was another expression as well, which also indicates, yes, Mama Oid Bocho Olo Bacharod, she cried. Yeah, so she's crying and she's upset at what she's seeing. Let's just be Don Kavskos, maybe, yeah? And she says to her father, please save his life. Right? That's the first question. Her father says out the question. He has to be executed. So she says, but I don't want to lose this beautiful visage, this beautiful face, yeah? So the father says, well, he's got to die. So she says to him, in theory, yeah, we don't know, yeah, in theory, okay, after he's dead, after you've executed him, right, can you get somebody, a taxidermist, to save his face, so that I can look at it for the rest of my life. Okay? In theory, that would be a possibility, and it could be that's the truth. Yeah, it could be the other way around, that we could say as follows. She was there, present in the what's called, in the palace. She never intervened to save the life of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. She never intervened later on to save the life of Rabbi Akiva, who's going to be the next one to come along. Number three of the asset thing of. She only intervenes to save the life of Rabbi Shmuel because she wants his face. Yeah. And when her father says it's out of the question that she could he should be saved, that he shouldn't be killed, then she says, in that case, I want his face. She could have said, I want it taken off alive. Or it could have been that the father suddenly thought to himself, well, what a brilliant idea. Instead of executing him by beheading, I'm going to strip his face. And that will kill him. And then we have two possibilities after that. Is that what killed him, or was he executed after that? Yeah. So we don't know. We've got possibilities. What it says is that my diuk is as follows. When it says here in Azei Levon and Adi HaTorah, which is the kinna that we'll say on Tisha B'Av, it says there, that means that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was Rabbi Shmuel was holding Shmuel Kangola was holding the head of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, just been executed and giving the whole hesped on him. And then it says, "Pisoim niknesa olav misa mashona v'chamura." Suddenly, a new type of misa was decreed upon him. In other words, because we've got the Maimor Shmuel Hakotan in Novus Rabbi Nosson, who says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol were going to be executed by beheading. And now, suddenly, because of this exchange with his daughter, he's come up with a new idea. You know, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him by stripping his face. Yeah. And then it says, therefore, Tibbala Hafshid Sobis Haaskiyo, Kiyam Roman, etc. And when he got to the place of the Tfilin, yeah, then it says, Tsoak Sa'oko Gedoylo Vinizdazo Horez Veres Hispoiro. And the king said to him, how come you didn't cry till now? And he said, I'm not crying because I'm in pain. And I'm not crying because I'm suffering. I'm crying because I'm losing the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm losing the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, when it says here, Pisam Niknesa Olav Misa Mashuna V'chamura, was this his Misa? Was that when there was Yitzias Neshama? Or not? According to Ovester Abnosan, they still afterwards beheaded him. So maybe he was still alive, and therefore he was also beheaded, and that would be the kiyum of Shmuel HaKotan. Or you could say that he died at that moment, they returned his neshama when he got to the Mokom HaTfilin, and then afterwards maybe they beheaded him, but maybe he was already dead. Those are the questions, and we don't have clear answers as to exactly what happened.
Started at the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, Yud Aleph Tammuz, 26th of June, Rabbi Shmuley Noe, Shlita, Menorah, Grammar, Masifta, Torah and Tahara. This week's Torah has been sponsored anonymously. But in this month, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dorfman, Rav Shim Michal Tzvi Itzkowitz, is for an early bracha.
Morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I have, usually when I come to Torah Way, I usually talk about halacha, which is why Rav Yitzchak told me this morning, make sure no chumras. You may remember the last year we spoke about disposables. But for today, seeing as it's Friday, I've understood that Friday usually is a parsha theme, something to do with the parsha, so we're going to leave halacha to the side for this week and we'll talk a little bit about the parsha. So the title of the shiur is Torah and Tahara. And I was thinking that there is an interesting connection, perhaps, between Torah and Tahara, which is an idea which occurred to me. Usually when you take two things and put them next to each other, then one thing can't have any impact on the thing next to it. It won't make it better, it won't make it worse. So for example, if you have an esrog, which is posel, and then you put the esrog next to an esrog, which is kosher, then the kosher esrog won't become posel, and the posel esrog won't become kosher. If you have a sefer written by a rishon or achron or tzaddik, and you put a lahavdil next to a book of apikorsus, then the book of apikorsus doesn't get any kedusha, and the sefer lahavdil, the sefer written by a tzaddik or by a rishon, by an achron, the sefer itself won't get contaminated by the book of heresy, which is next to it. They just each of them retain their identity, and they don't impact one another. And even in the halachas of kashrus, where we see that foods touching each other do contaminate each other, that's only when a part of the food, which is treif, actually goes into, or the taste, or the metzias, or the blias, goes into the kosher food, which is why the Shulchan Aruch is busy with hot and cold and tator gova, and if it's salty, and if it's liquidy, and if it's got cracks. But generally speaking, unless actually something from one entity goes into the other, then it won't impact one another. Now, the only place where we find that that's different is when it comes to the halachas of tumah and the halachas of tahara. So, for example, you can have somebody who's tomei, and all he needs to do is go into a mikveh, which is ma'am chaim. He goes into a mikveh or memsah, and that automatically will make him, by virtue of going into the mikveh and stepping into the mikveh, that will turn him into somebody who becomes toy. And the other way is also true. You can have somebody who's 100% toy, and he touches a mace, or he touches the sheretz, and by touching the sheretz or by touching the mace, that person will now become tomei by having connection with that tumah. But besides tumah and tahara, we don't really find anywhere else that two entities or two objects can touch each other and something goes over from one to the other. And I was thinking that by Torah, it's exactly the same. When it comes to Torah, you can have one person sitting and learning Torah in one place, and that Torah doesn't just impact him and stay with him. That Torah actually spreads and impacts and inspires and creates more tahara to other people as well that are well beyond him. Then the Gaon famously said that you can have a yid sitting and learning Torah in Vilna, and that will impact people in Paris not to do any aveiros. Why? Because Torah itself is like a mikveh, ma mikveh mitaris. So Torah is like a mikveh which the tahara spreads to other people. So perhaps in some way that's a connection between Torah and tahara.
So yeah? You find that medical, absolutely. We've got a doctor here, but you find that in the medical world there's the idea of infection spreading.
Yeah. 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 So maybe that's everything in the Rukhnis the world has some. So I was thinking last week I was in Manchester for a chasana of Mashem et Chasta for my sister-in-law, and the grandfather of the chasan, Mr. Johnny Leitner, came out. He says, "Oh, I recognize you. You're giving Torah away, Shir, you know, next week Friday on the sheet." So first of all, I promised him a shout out. But besides that, I thought, I don't know if that happens here or not, but besides that, I thought to myself that we're one shir, one chabor, people come together every single morning and learn, but the Torah spreads. It's spreading up north, it's spreading across the world, and it's not just people sitting here that are impacted, it's people that are watching the shir, people that are involved in the shir, and just bechlal, the fact that there's a ruach of Torah, that Torah is like a tahara which spreads from one person to the next and is matara the entire world. Ravigdor Miller.
You told me he listens to our shit every.
Yes, time. Yes, he's a committed virtual participant. So Ravigdor Miller, in fact, said that when Mashiach comes, the television will be used also to spread Torah. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu will have a slot on the TV up 10 o'clock, where he'll be giving Daf Yom Yishe, and then there'll be an Arayis Yishe, and an Omer Yom Yishe. Maybe different stations, for depending on what you're learning. And that will spread Torah, because nowadays with the technology, Torah can spread even more and can spread further. The Bava Chereba, who's Yotza, was last week, he famously, already over 40 years ago, when radio and television was becoming more of a thing, he paid to have airtime on the waves and have Fabrengans and Sichas to be spread through the use of technology. And when they asked him about it, he said that everything that comes to this world can be either used for the good or could be used for the bad. And I want to be able to spread Torah and spread Yerushalayim throughout the world. And therefore he used the technology in ways of spreading. So Torah, which we learned today, has the ability to spread far and wide. And I got in trouble for this once, because I was telling this to my kids about televisions and Mashiach. And my daughter went to school the following week, and they were talking about what will happen when Mashiach comes, B'samigdosh and Karbonos and amazing things. And she picked up her hand, she says, "My daddy says, when Mashiach comes, we'll all be able to get televisions." That was, I had to do some explaining to the school exactly what that meant. But Karbonos, what we see from here is that Torah spreads, Tahara spreads, and it will impact from one person to the next. I once heard a story some years ago from the Talmud Rebbe Shlita. He said that there was once a chosid of the Imre Emes of Ge'er. He said that the chosid had traveled in Ge'er, in the Seers, to the Rebbe. It's quite an important thing, and very important thing. And he had traveled, nowadays it's easier, you hop on a bus or on a plane. In those days you had to travel sometimes for days or for weeks to get from one shtetl to another, from one country to another. And he had traveled to go to Ge'er for Yom Tov, and he had been there together with hundreds, thousands of other chassidim. And I don't think he'd even had a glimpse of the Rebbe, never mind even being able to speak to the Rebbe or hear from the Rebbe. And anyone who's been to Ge'er, to the actual shtetl in Poland, sees that the shul itself is maybe better than the size of this besmeidish. It's not very big. People used to daven outside in the chotzer, outside the besmeidish, and people were packed in and they couldn't. And he had a bit of chalisha das. What's the point of him traveling all the way to Ge'er, all the way to the Rebbe, just for to be able to just squash in and not even hear anything or see anything or be able to participate in a very meaningful way? And the Rebbe said to him, we have to learn from the halachas of Tumah and Tahara. He says, just like when it comes to Tumah, if a person puts himself in an oil, he puts himself in a room, and the far corner of the room could be hundreds of square meters big, and one corner there's a piece of mace in the room, a kezias of a mace or an ava, and he's in the other end of the room, and that person will become contaminated from the tumah that's in the room in the same oil. Then so too, midatovim merubah, when it comes to dvom shebegdusha, if you put yourself in a place of tzaddikim, and put yourself in a place where yidden are coming together to daven and to grow, then you are being impacted by the tahara that's spreading, despite even not being able to talk to the Rebbe or to hear anything. So that's how you see the midatovim merubah, how tahara spreads. Chasam Sofer says, in fact, in this week's parasha, in Parshas Balak, Chasam Sofer says in the words, Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov, he says, Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov, how great is it if you could daven in an oil where there's a Yaakov that's there? Yaakov referring to a tzaddik. He says, if you're able to daven in a Bismedrash with a Rav, Bismedrash with a Rebbe, Bismedrash with a tzaddik, Bismedrash with an Adam Godel that's there, even if you don't have anything to do one to one actually with the Choshev person at the front, the Maisi, you're in an oil together with a Yaakov, and that's Matoivu. So what we can see from here is that Tamid Chachomim Torah spreads just like Tahara spreads. So I want to begin with, I think I began already, but I want to carry on with looking at the beginning of this week's parasha and seeing a further connection between Tahara and between Torah. So if you open up the Chinuch in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, you'll see the Chinuch says there are three mitzvahs in this week's parasha. The first mitzvah in this week's parasha is the parasha of Parah Adumah, the mitzvah and the halachas of Parah Adumah, to be Matar people. The second mitzvah, says the Chinuch, is the halachas of Tumas Meizos, HaToyra Odom Kiyomas Bo'el, the halachas of how people and Kalim can become Tomei. And the third mitzvah is the mitzvah which refers to as the Meinidah, the mitzvah of the halachas of the water which was mixed together with the Ifapora, which was then used to be Metara people. These are the three only mitzvahs that we have in Parshas Chukas. All of them to do with Tahara, all of them to do with halachas of Toma, people becoming Tomei, and also the halachas of how people can go away from the Toma which they have on themselves. In Parshas Balak, there's no mitzvahs at all. I think if you look in Parshas Chukas a little bit beneath the surface, you'll see that there's indeed, beside these three mitzvahs of Tahara, you'll find also there's another mitzvah which is hinted through in these psukim. Let's start with the beginning of the parasha. The Torah says, "Vadavash el Moshe v'Aharon leimor zois chukas haTorah." This is the chuk. This is the statute of the Torah. Asher tziv Hashem leimor v'kicholecha parah adumah tzemima on the lochus of parah adumah. And the Mefarshim all ask, "Zois chukas haTorah." The first Orachama Kodesh asks, "How can you say zois chukas haTorah? This is the statute of the Torah." Really, the Pasuk should say zois chuka. It's a chuk. Why is it the chuk of the Torah? Or should say zois chukas hatuma, or zois chukas hatahara. Why on earth does the Torah say zois chukas hatoira, as if this is the chayik of the entire Torah? It's one of the mitzvahs. Why is it called chukas hatoira? And I'll share a few different mahalchim, two from the Aruch HaMakadosh himself. So the first mahalach is the end of the Aruch HaMakadosh. It's a very big thing. He says there's an unbelievable remez in this pasuk of zois chukas hatoira. He says that if you have a person who only keeps the mitzvahs which he understands, the mitzvahs which make sense to him, but the mitzvahs which don't make sense to him he doesn't bother keeping, then it just shows that his connection to Torah and to Avodah Hashem is weak. Because when it makes sense to him, he does it. And when it doesn't make sense to him, he won't do it. So then even the things that he is doing are not really because of his emunah and because of his hezbatlus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's just doing it because it makes sense to him. But if you have a person who does mitzvahs, even when it doesn't make sense to him, and even when he can't fathom the logic behind the mitzvah, he still does the mitzvahs, that proves that all his avodas Hashem and everything he's doing is all totally and entirely lishma because of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him. Because even when he doesn't understand, he still does it. And he says, that is pshat in the pasuk zois chukas haTorah. He says, if a person keeps this mitzvah, ma'ale aleim akosav kilu kaima haTorah, asher tziv Hashem leimoi. If a person keeps this mitzvah, then it's as if he's kept the entire Torah. Ki kiyum haMitzvah b'lo itam. If a person keeps one mitzvah without understanding, then that shows that really deep down he wants to keep kol mitzvahs haBoira if he pushes himself to be able to be mekayem the one mitzvah which he doesn't understand. And he says perhaps that's why the Torah actually didn't tell us the reason. Why did the Torah not tell us the reason for the mitzvah of parah adumah? Why did it leave it unknown even to the greatest Chochem Mikol Adam? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not reveal it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a mitzvah which we don't understand and which we can't fathom to leave us doing one mitzvah which will prove our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even if we don't understand. That's one pshat in Zeus Chukas HaTorah. Then the Orachama Kodesh says in another pshat, he says, where do the halachos of Tum and Tahara even stem from? Why is it that the Rambam says that a goy doesn't become Tommy? A goy can't become, a goy can go to a Beis HaKoros, a goy can touch a mitzvah. A goy himself can't become Tommy. And why is it that the Gemara says that a goy is not metama ba'oil? I think it's machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes is showing Rambam Ravid, but the Maisa, a goy is not metama ba'oil, which means if a person goes into machlokes and Shulchan Aruch passes, it should be machme, but if a person goes into, sorry, to run again, hospitals and it's machlokes, yeah. But the Rambam, so if a person goes into an oil, the goy is there, a person does not become tumas meis from the goy. Why is that? Why dafka yidin? If anything, we should think to ourselves, a yid doesn't become tomei, and a goy does become tomei. And the Reuch HaMakadosh explains, and this is the second pshat in Zeus Chukas HaTorah, the Reuch HaMakadosh explains that it comes from the fact that we were mekabli Torah. He says, if you have someone who's mekabel Torah, therefore he's more susceptible to becoming tomei. Mashiach is somebody who's not a kli for Torah, therefore he won't become tomei. He gives a marshal, if you have two kelim, one keli that had in it honey, and one keli that had in it jezevel, and then you empty the two keli and put them outside, the keli that had honey in it will attract bees, and will attract wasps, and will attract flies, whereas the keli that had in it zevel will attract much less. So therefore, a yid who's a keli for Torah and a keli for Kedusha, that's why when he's nifta and the Torah is gone, that's why he's metama, and that's why a yid also, as a living person, is also mekabotum because of that Torah which he has inside him. And he says, Zois chukas haTorah, this is the chayk of the Torah. You want to know why there's parah adumah, you want to know why there's tumas oil, you want to know why we are metama, and why also we're mekabotumah, that's because of Zois chukas haTorah, that's because of the fact that we have a Torah which elevates us, which automatically means that we can become Tomei as well, and we can be metama others as well, after a person is nifta. But there's a third pshat that I once read some years ago about Zois chukas haTorah. This week on Wednesday was the yard site of the Klausenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and my grandfather was in Warsaw Ghetto with the Rebbe, he was in Auschwitz with the Rebbe, he was liberated with the Rebbe, and he said that the Klausenberger Rebbe, whenever he used to see him in the war, his lips were always moving. He was always learning Mishnahs, he was always learning Torah, he was always speaking in Torah to himself, to nobody in particular. Ad kedei kach, the Klausenberger Rebbe, I think he said after the war, he didn't miss one week of saying Shalosh Shudos Torah. There wasn't dafka chassidim on prenches that were watching, but every single week when it came Shabbos after Zman Mincha, he said Torah b'shalosh shudos. And Parshas Chukas one year, he said over years later the Torah that he said Zois Chukas haTorah Asher Tzivo Hashem Leimor. And he said as follows: Zois Chukas haTorah. This is the chuk of Torah. If somebody wants to be able to steig in learning Torah, then he needs to do three things: Tzivo, Hashem, Leimor. What are the three things? So Tzivo, he said, is Gematria 101. Tzadik Vav Hey, it's Gematria 101. If somebody wants to steig in Torah, then Asher, what he should do is Tzivo, learn and learn and do Chazor, like the Gemara says. Einoy Doima. Somebody learns 101 times, so somebody learns 100 times. That's the first thing. The second thing, Hashem. Remember that you're learning Hashem's Torah, and remember you're learning together with Hashem. Every person's learning Torah is learning with Hashem. So therefore, Asher Tzivo Hashem. And the third thing which you need to remember is Leimor, that you should say it. Don't learn quietly. When you're learning, try either learn with somebody else or try and talk it out aloud or try talk it through. When I was in school, one of my rebbe said that, one of the gedolim, I forgot which one, used to sometimes take his coffee mug, which had the handle sticking out, and he'd put a pair of glasses on the handle and face it towards him so it looked like a person sitting opposite him. And then he would have conversations with his mug and explain the svaros and the lombus and go back and forth in order to be able to be mekayem the Asher Tzivo Hashem Leimor. The good thing is the chavrusa can never tell you that your pshat is really bad. But akaponim your mekayem Asher Tzivo Hashem Leimor. That was what the Rebbe said, the Shalosh Shudos Torah, one year in the war years. And the question is, why is this hinted to? Why is it hinted to dafka in this pasuk? Why dafka in these psukim of paraduma of tumah tahara? Do we have a remez to another mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of limud haTorah and the mitzvah of learning Torah? Even more so, later on in Perek Yotes, pasuk Yudalud, we see again another hint to the mitzvah of limud haTorah from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Gimel. The pasuk says, "Zois haTorah, Adam kiyomus ba'oihel." This is the Torah. A person, which means these are the halachas of a person who dies, kalabala oil, everything becomes tomei. Then this is halachas how things can become tore. But the Gemara has a drasha, Zois haTorah, Adam kiyomus ba'oil. Says the Gemara that ein haTorah miskayim, elo b'misha meimis atzma eleo. Torah only lasts when somebody literally means he kills himself for the Torah, which means if somebody wants to grow in his learning of Torah, he has to kill himself. Now the Chofetz Chaim asks, I don't understand. We know the Pasuk says, "V'chay b'hem v'lo yishyomos b'hem." That person has to live and not die. So it's a bit of a shvera kasha, because the Gemara obviously doesn't mean literally they have to kill yourself for the Torah, right? The Torah Tzmima, if you look at the Torah Tzmima on this Pasuk, the Torah Tzmima brings rise from Shas that to die doesn't only mean physical death, but a person stops himself doing something that he wants to be doing, or a person is hungry and he pushes himself. It's also called death. The Gemara Nashoil says, Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalga. Even partial death is also considered death. So therefore, that could be what the Pasuk means. Zois haTorah, Adam kiyomos ba'oil. If you want to grow in learning as much as possible, you have to kill yourself, you have to give away of parts of yourself, and then a person can steig in his learning. What are you saying? Yes, yeah, it's an English expression that we say. The Moshe Shteinbach has another pshat in what this means. Ein haTorah miskayim ela b'misha meimis atzmo eleo. Moshe Shteinbach says that if a person wants to steig in his ruchnias, then if he's busy with this world all the time and in how much he can achieve and grow in the olam hazeh, then he's not going to be focused on olam haba. So ein haTorah miskayim ela b'misha meimis atzmo eleo means someone who's thinking always about Misa, someone who's always thinking about the future, and he's thinking about the fact that we're not here forever. In this world, we're going to be heading to an olam haba. That's what it means. Ein haTorah miskayim ela b'misha meimis atzmo eleo. The third pshat I once heard is, Chofetz Chaim himself says something similar in his sefer on Al haTorah. He says that sometimes a person needs to imagine as if he's no longer here, meaning the outside world is over, the outside world is finished, there's nothing going on. And the only thing that exists currently is me and my sefer and my learning and my shemir smittas and nothing else. He has to disconnect himself from the outside world for pockets of time if he wants to be able to steig and grow in his Torah. But upon this is the second time in this week's parasha that we're seeing a remez to the mitzvah of limud haTorah, but all before Sheni. And another remez to the mitzvah of limud haTorah in this week's parasha is Zois haTorah Adam Kiyomos Ba'oil. And the Chayre, it needs some understanding. Why does the mitzvah of limud haTorah already twice appear? Zois Chukas haTorah, In the Remus to learning Torah properly, already twice in this week's parsha before Sheni, when the only mitzvahs are all about Tahara, we have a Remus twice to the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. So, I saw a vort from the Shlach HaKadosh, which Reb Chaim Kaufman in his Sefer Mishnah Shemen brings. He says, first of all, in the Kudah we see in this week's parsha, there's no such thing as a person who becomes Tomei who can't become Torah. Every type of Tomei in the Torah has a way out. And he says it's an unbelievable chizik for a person, that a person should know that no matter what the situation is, no matter which situation he finds himself in, Begashmis and especially Baruchnias, there's always a solution and there's always a way out and nobody is stuck forever. But then he says, this is all very good when it comes to the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we had the Paraduma, and we had ways of a person being Metar himself from Tumas Meis. But nowadays, what should a person do? A person becomes Tomei, we're all Tumas Meis, or other Tumas, then how can a person move forward from Tumah if we don't have any more the existence of a Paraduma? And he says as follows. He says, the Pasuk says, Hu yischata boy, bayim hashlishi, hu bayim hashvi yito. That the person has to become purified with the Eifer Parah on the third day of the 7 days of being Tomei. And then on the seventh day, he will be Toi. However, then if he doesn't become purified with the Eifer Parah, then he won't become B'yem HaShvi Lo Yito. And the Shlach HaKadosh says, what's day three? What's day seven? He says an unbelievable thing. He says that we know the world was created in 6 days. And Al-Pi Kabbalah, each day of the world corresponds to 1,000 years of creation. So we know the world was created for 6,000 years. So day one corresponds to from 0 to 1,000. Day two, from 1,000 to 2,000. Day three. So he says, what happened on day three? If day three corresponds to 1,000 years, it's from year 2,000 to year 3,000. So he says that in day three, which is in the years between 2,000 and 3,000, corresponds to the years of Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was given in year 2448 of Bria Sa'olam. And therefore, day three is a reference to Limud HaTorah. So he says that if a person wants to know how a person can purify himself and how a person can become Tor nowadays, when we have no Beis HaMikdash anymore, despite the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and a Paraduma, what can a person do? Then he should know as follows. Hu yischata boy bayoyim hashlishi. Take the third day of Bria Sa'olam, which corresponds to year 2000 to 3000, with the year 2448 in it. Take that day of Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satoya, and put yourself in there, and then Uvayim HaShvi Yito. Uvayim HaShvi means when a person's Nifta, Chaya Olam Haba, after 6,000 years, day 7, which corresponds to after Olam Hazeh, then you'll be Torah if you've spent your life trying as much as possible to put yourself in Limud HaTorah. However, if a person does not put himself into the essence of day 3, into Matan Torah, into Kabbalah Satoya, then Uvayim HaShvi Lo Yito, then a person won't be able to become Tohi on Bayim HaShvi. And the truth is, it's a remez which we see also in the second parsha of the Shabbos, in Parshas Balak. Bilam said, Ma Tov Alech Yaakov, Mishkan Esech Yisrael. And then he said, Kanacholim, not Toyu. So the Gemara Darshans, Kanacholim, not Toyu means like a body of water that's spread out, so to Klal Yisrael in their tents. And the Gemara Darshans, what's the Lashon of Nachal when it comes to Klal Yisrol? Ma Tivon Shel Nachalim, Shel Nacholim Eitzel, Botuk Nisis, the bottom of Joshua's. Just like a wadi, just like a body of water, a person puts himself into, and he goes into when he's tomei, and he comes out and he's toy. So too, matoyv elecha Yaakov, mishkan sech Yisrael, kach botik nesiyos, ubotim ejoshes bnei adam nechnosan etoychon, kishen melem avoynos. A person goes into a shul when he's full of avoynos. The yoytzin, and a person comes out melem mitzvahs, then he's full of mitzvahs. So the same concept which we see beginning of Parshas Chukas, that v'yim hashlish yito, then so too in Parshas Balak, the same thing, that matoyv elecha Yaakov, mishkan sech Yisrael, kanacholim notoyu, that person's shul, an oihel, a mishkan, the bottom of Joshua's, and Botik Nesis of Klal Yisrael are like a body of water that they are matahir a person. Chaim Kaufman says, why dafka a nachal? Why not a mikveh? You know, the classic matahir, which every person is familiar with, is a mikveh, not a nachal. So if the Gemara is looking for remez in the Torah of a body of water which is matahir, so to the Beis HaMedrash is matahir, so to the Torah is matahir, then why a nachal? Why not pick a mikveh? And he says there's two unique halachas that apply to a nachal that a mikveh is different in. Number one, a mikveh is disconnected. A mikveh is static. A mikveh is 40 soul that's been gathered together and put into a system of that holds the water. Mashenken and Nachal is a constant flowing stream which is connected to water constantly. He says a person has to know, if he wants the Torah to be metayim him, it's not just static, not just sitting there, not, it has to be every single day be mechadash, every day growing, every day flowing, a constant flow of his connection to limud Torah. And he says another difference between a mikveh and between a nachal is that a mikveh has to be memsah. That's the minimum. If you have one dot less than memsah, the mikveh is not mitai. Mashenkin and nachal, the Gemara discusses even taking needles which have become tomei. And as long as the object can be totally covered up by the water, then it will become toy. So he says the same thing when it comes to Torah that's matai, there's no minimum shear. As long as a person puts himself into the Torah, as long as a person wraps himself in Torah, it could be kind of cholim the toyu. Even if it's something which wraps him up, and even if he doesn't become, even if it's not 40 saw, even if it's just a minute here and a mishnah there and a posik there, then it's kind of cholim the toyu. It's something which will totally wrap him up and which will be matai him. There's a famous vort from the Gro, quoted in Keser Rosh, the Zohar Kodesh says about certain averus that tshuva doesn't help. That certain averus which are so extreme, tshuva doesn't help. But the Gro is quoted in Keser Rosh as saying that's only someone who doesn't immerse himself in limud haTorah. But somebody who immerses himself and spends time in learning Torah, then the limud haTorah itself will be matari the person. And I was thinking when I saw this Gro that perhaps that's a different way of understanding the Gemara that says barosi yitzahara, barosi Torah tavlin. I think the simple way that we understand the Gemara, I created the Torah, I created the Yetzirah, and I created the Torah. I think the simple way of understanding is that a person is the Yetzirah, and if you want to make sure not to slip into the Yetzirah, then here's the Torah, and that will help you avoid the pitfalls of falling into the Yetzirah. I brought the Yetzirah, I created the Yetzirah, and the Torah is the spice which will hold you back from falling in if you're connected to the Torah. But if you this grow, it can be the other way around as well. Barosi Yetzirah, created Yetzirah, and people have stumbled, and people do slip, and people do fall. But Barosi Torah Tavlin, the Tavlin comes afterwards, not nothing before that will stop a person. The Tavlin comes afterwards, and it's Matahir the person even afterwards. If you think about a spice is something which you take a food, which is bland, and has no flavor, and you put the spice afterwards into the food in order to spice it up. So the Tavlin, according to this Gro, can also be something which comes afterwards, after a person has ready to become Tommy, and the Torah itself will be Matahir the person. So the Fideh Shlah, and the Fideh Gon, and the Fideh Gemara about the Matovah Lech Yaakov, we can come back and understand why limud haTorah and Talmud Torah has such an important place in Parshas Chukas, Zos Chukas haTorah, and also the Pasuk of Adam Kiyomis Boel, Zos haTorah, because if the Torah is giving us the mitzvahs of Tahara, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, the mitzvahs of Parah Adumah, the mitzvahs of Meinida, the mitzvahs of Tumas Meis, then we can be left thinking, so what do we do nowadays when we don't have any more Parah Adumah? Of them, Zos haTorah, Zos haTorah, Zos Chukas haTorah, as long as a person is connected to limud haTorah, and even small amounts of limud haTorah, like a nachal, as long as it's with a frishkeit, as long as it's like a flow, like the nachal, as opposed to static, like the mikveh, then that will also be matai the person. So we should take this lesson and mitzvah Hashem keep a renewed connection to Torah, and with that will be zoicha to v'zorak aleichem am tohirim when Mashiach comes and mitzvah Hashem v'yas goel. Shabbos. Hashem, you have to remember, you was learning with Hashem, and then you have to say it out.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's Chikas HaTorah. The main thing, so maybe we have a few Heures on Parshas Bulah, although Parshushim speaker has spoke about Matov Yehulich, but the story with the donkey always fascinates me, and the whole dialogue between Bilam and the Usain is beyond belief, literally. But I'll tell you one Heura which I refined this morning, and I think that it's Kenzan Emes Ochot. You know the story says Vatilchatz Vatilucha. It's all about Koyre Weissen, that the difference between the spelling is the same, but it's completely different meaning. He went to the wall, the donkey, and he pressed his leg against the wall, and Bilam's leg became pressed and squashed against this wall. This wall was a Shaires Aplaite from Luvan Arami, and some say that he was actually the embodiment of Luvan Arami, but Arizal. But the Pusik says that Bilam himself was confronted by the donkey, and the donkey said, "Why did you beat me three times?" Regulim means times. But regulim, Rashi picks up, also means yontif. Peisach, Shvi'ah, Sikkos. This is the Amach Chogeges, a nation which celebrates three central yumim tovim, and you are going to try and uproot a nation like this. Much has spoken also about the character, the debased character of Bilam. And the Pirkei Avos speaks about the Ruach Gevoyo. Ruach Gevoyo means arrogance, haughtiness, so full of himself. Such a Balgaya. And you think about the person who's a Balgava, he comes in, even a Yid. Em is hub Mizrach. Nothing less than that. Has to have his Aliyah Shishi. Anything less than this is completely out of joint. He needs lots of space. He needs people to be mechabetim. That's the essence of Riach Gevoya, which is the opposite of Avum Avinu. If you think about it, the Shulash Regulim has got also an association with the whole story, because people that went up to the Beis Hamikdash for those Shulash Regulim didn't have where to stay. There were not five-star hotels then in Yerushalayim, which you checked into. But Me'olam Le'uma Udom Tzali Amukah Emlulim Yerushalayim. There was never such a problem of place. Everybody felt comfortable. So now that means that there's something which Bilam felt, which has got an association with this. If the reason was because Oymdim Tzefifem Emishtachavim Revuchem, all of those that you've got Sheva Buchas tonight, you've got plenty to talk about Chus and Kala, that the Oymdim, if you're tough, then Tzefifem, then life is tough, but the Emishtachavim, if you're able to give way, then Revuchem, then of course. But the word of Oymdim Tzefifem Emishtachavim Revuchem is Pshat, that no, I don't occupy the wet space. Elch Yid and Talmud Chucham doesn't occupy space. You can see the Uroin was the Shmuz of it, that it didn't occupy space. He's fine sitting at the back. He doesn't take any place. That's Oymdim Tzefivim Mishtachem Revuchem. That's possibly the reason why Bilam felt very constrained by all this. And you had the Tilchatz Regel Bilam. Yeah, you've got the kid again. The Regulim, and the Regulim, the Shulash Regulim, the Amach Hageges Shulash Regulim, that this was a constraint, this was something where somebody was trying to be Meramas and symbolize to him, you're going to uproot this nation symbolizes just the opposite of what you are Riach Gevoya, Mr. Chabal Gaya, you're arrogant, you're haughty, you're full of yourself, and this nation is a nation which is humble, the Emet Talmid of Shalavrum Ovini, Memaila. That was Vatilchatz Regel Bilam, Vatilchatz Regel Bilam Melakir. That was one Ha'ura. The other one is also something which is very beautiful to do again with the character of Bilam. Because Bilam came and he wanted to emulate, he wanted to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. That means essentially that on the kickoff, the Midian and Moav said, they've got somebody who is koiche bepeh. We'll also bring somebody who is koiche bepeh. We'll match it one against the other, and with this koich, we'll be able to beat the Jewish nation. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, and when the Malach came, remarkably, it says twice, "V'char boi shlifoi b'yudah." Once it says it when the donkey recognized that there was a Malach who was standing in front of him. And then finally, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo was Vayagal Hashem as Ayin Bilam, also then the Eibishter showed him that there's a Malach standing there with a sword. Now, I don't know, I didn't meet many Maluchim, but I know one thing for sure, that a Malach don't need any sword to kill anybody. The Kiddush of a Malach and one Shem would make Gal Shem Atzumus in 1 second. So what's he busy holding the sword for? But Rashi says that there was also a symbolism behind this. Because the sword was trying to say to Bilam just that very revolution. Why are you coming to them by trying to curse them? The Rebbeinu Shlom through Nevi'ah said, "Akol kol Yankov va'yudaim yudai Esav al harbachutich ye." Your instrument, your weapon is the sword. You kill with instruments, and you are the one who doesn't opt for koychoy bepeh. But no, he's very, very much into the business of I will match them with their own. I'll beat them at their own game. And you know there's a Sifsa Chachumam that says that that the word shlufo is actually containing the words sheloi peh. The mouth belongs to him. Why are you exchanging identities? Why are you going there to curse? Why are you going to give the Nevi'ah which the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you and use it in a negative power? So Memaila, in the end of the day, Rashi's Mayit, Ve'ez Bilam ben bo'oy hogi b'churef. His downfall was through the sword. And that's how he perished. By the sword. So there's a deep limit. Maybe the limit here is the one in life. We should know that in life it's just better, just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be who you are and use your own strengths, because those are the ones which the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you. The moment you start to try to change identities and think that your success lies in being, emulating, trying to copy somebody else, then ves bilam ben bo'e hogi b'churev. In the end of the day, you suffer the fate of finding your own strengths there.
Yes, I'm going to say,